It's time for the truth. It's time to come to know and come to grow in Jesus. I'd like to ask you to join us today as we study the precious Word of God. We're studying the book of Jonah. If you'd please open your Bibles, I hope that you have an opportunity to do that, to follow along, read the precious Scripture along with us. I hope that you're beginning to change your mind if you've been with us for a few weeks, that this just isn't some fish story, but it's an exciting package and message. It shows us, and in such a short and small little package is something so mighty and so strong. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17 are the verses we're going to be reading this morning. So would you please open your Bibles to those verses? And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to invite you to join us. Sunday school begins at 9:30, church at 10:35. We have Bible studies at 7 o'clock on Sunday night and Wednesday night here at the church, at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, a ladies' Bible study. And so we love studying the Word of God. And so please that you would join us at one of those areas. If you have a church home and you just have services on Sunday morning and you are not do not have a Bible study through the week, you'll find it to be something very exciting and very enjoyable. And I'd like for you to come and join us just on a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening, that you may see what we're studying. Right now on Sunday night, we're studying the book of Isaiah, and on Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Numbers. And so you can see that we're in several different areas. Now we're in Jonah. It seems strange. Many people do not study the Old Testament. It is one precious word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, and we study it all. We love and enjoy the precious word. Been preaching out of 1 Peter, and so you can see that we're in several different areas of the Scripture. And so just come and be with us. Enjoy the precious time as we study the word. And as you well know, I believe that it's important that you're in the house of God, in a house that preaches the Word of God, preaches the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. His day is coming. He's going to be here. I can't imagine just... this week, while we were talking about some events that have taken place over the last couple years, and it doesn't seem like it's been 2 or 3 years ago. It seemed like maybe 1 or 2 months. Time flies so fast, so please do not let this precious free gift of Jesus get away from you, and all of a sudden, your day is come, and you'll stand before God. And if you do not have Jesus in your heart, if you have not trusted by faith in the Lord Jesus, your only home for eternity is going to be hell. And I hope that you're listening very carefully as we study this precious word and enjoy it. I want you to have a precious, sweet home, and that home is in the presence of Jesus in heaven for eternity. Please, that we can enjoy the rule and reign with Him forever, as the Scripture says. Let's go to Jonah now, and we're going to read from the 12th through the 17th verse in the first chapter. So please that you follow along with me. And he said to them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that for my sake this tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring her to land, but they could not, for the sea raged and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's sake, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord said that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's go with the Lord in prayer before we begin the study this morning. Father, I thank you that we can come together and enjoy this precious time. I ask that you will just show through your power and your strength that you'll touch each and every heart, each and every listener. You know, we come to you by hearing the Word of God. And we love studying the Word of God, that our hearts will be touched and our hearts and lives will be changed. And I ask, Father, that that happen this very day as we're studying the Word of God, that every heart will be touched by your presence and every life will be changed by your presence today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful to study the Word of God. It's so wonderful to do the will of God. It's the only thing in this old life that can bring a change in our life, can bring happiness and joy in our life. And you know, as we find Jonah, and just very quickly, if this happens to be one of the first times that you've had an opportunity to join us, I need to catch up just a little bit. And it's good, as we visit just once a week, it's good for us to kind of refresh our memory just a little bit. And we have this man, Jonah. We find that he was called. He was called of God to go unto Nineveh and preach against them. Their wickedness has come up before me, verse 2 says. We know that Jonah has got up and he took off. Now, so far, you'd think that's doing fine, but he went the wrong way. And as we've shared many times, and I just want to take just a few minutes to tell you, as you leave the presence of the Lord. Now, you know, I've watched the Lord do some wonderful works in my life and in other people's lives as they set their heart and their eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Now, it's exciting to watch that. And the sad thing is, and I'm sure Jonah was the same way, the sad thing is that upon people seeing the power and the presence of God, put their lives back together, give them, maybe they had no life at all, and God put that life back together when they were saved, when they came by faith to Jesus and were saved. By faith, they came to Jesus, to the cross of Calvary. And as we're going to talk this morning, they become a part of that death. And we must do the same thing in Jesus. And you know, as they do that, and then we watch their life change, and then all of a sudden they find not to have time. We've watched that happen in so many different times, whether it be a man or a woman or a child, as they change, and then all of a sudden they kind of cool off. Well, Satan has just thrown everything there. I've seen so many things put back together. I've seen businesses put back together with the power of God because the person sold out to Jesus. I've seen families put back together because they came to Jesus and sold out to Jesus. And I've seen every case that fall back the other way when they became too busy and forgot Jesus. Oh, it's so sad that we forget about Jesus. I think Jonah did that. I think he knew the power of God. He had witnessed the power of God. We have the same examples as we're studying on Wednesday night in the book of Numbers. We've had that same example through the book of Exodus, back in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. We're studying on Wednesday night through the Scripture, and we're to the book of Numbers. And as we're looking at those books, we find so many times that the people of Israel, the children of Israel, begin to murmur against God. And when they begin to murmur against God, they begin to turn against the man that God has chosen to lead them, which was Moses and Aaron. And as we find them murmuring, we find many go to death, are put to death because of their murmuring and their disobedience to the will of God. Now, they have witnessed many times the miracles of God. They've witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. They've witnessed the food fall down each day, 6 days a week for them, and a double portion for them on Friday so that they did not pick up the food on Saturday, which was forbidden in that time. And all these things, all these provisions, all these things were made for these people, and yet they ignored and continued to turn against God. And we haven't changed a bit today, and Jonah's the same way here. Jonah, maybe he, again, just back from a journey, we don't know what happened, but he left. Anytime you leave, you go down. Anytime you go down, you're going away. You're going away from the will of God. And when you're going away from the will of God, the joy, the peace, all that's gone. When you're going away from the will of God, you always take somebody with you. This is a scary part. Because most of us don't think that it affects anybody but me. When I choose not to be in the house of God for whatever reason, I think that's nobody's problem but me. I know I should be there to study the Word of God, but it's nobody's problem but mine. No, it becomes somebody else's problem. Sometimes we're aware of them, sometimes we're not. But the one that's the most common is the person that takes the brunt of a decision like that is your children. Parents, is your children, because you're teaching them to be in the house of God, to study the Word of God amongst believers, folks that are born again. It's not necessary. You can come up with anything else, whether it be a job or sports or just want to laze around the house tonight and not be in the house of God. You're missing a blessing, and you're teaching your child what's important to you and that's to sit in front of that television, or that's to make more money. You need to be in the house of God. We need to teach our children it's important, the most important, to be in the house of God, to hear the word of God and respond to that precious word. Jonah took folks with him too, because you see, he got to a point where he had to get on a ship. When we got on the ship, he had sailors that was running that ship, and they became a part of his running away. And we find now that they had already been through a decision, and that decision was they asked him who he was. When they found out who he was, they were afraid, because they knew that he ran away from God. And we don't even have enough sense to be afraid today. We run away from God, but we don't have enough sense to be scared. I'm telling you, my friend, you better be scared. And you better return with a repentant heart unto the power of God, the will of God, the way of God. Stop this running away and destroying your family. Oh, it's not hurting a bit. Yes, it is. Please, that you look unto the Lord Jesus and you follow after. They inquired, and they found here in verse 8, what's your occupation, where do you come from, what's your country, and what people are you, what's your nationality, who are you? And he says, and then that he told them exactly, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and dry land. Then they were afraid. The sailors were afraid. Why have you done this? Why are you running away from God? Oh, that's a question that could be asked in every church today. Why are you running away? Well, I'm not. I just haven't been to services like I used to be. You're running away from God. If you're not doing the will of God, searching His precious word, you have put idols, you've put things in front of God. You have replaced God with something. Whether it be money, whatever it is, you've replaced it. I ask you that you turn your eyes, your heart, your life back unto the Lord Jesus. Many of you folks never were saved, and so you need to come to Jesus and be saved. These men were afraid. What shall we do that the sea would be calm? Well, in verse 12, Jonah tells them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that is my sake, for my sake that this tempest is upon you. He gave him the answer. And as we talked last week, their sin, the cost of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And in order for us to be saved, we must have either ourselves or someone must take our place to save us. And there is only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. He is a perfect sacrifice offered upon the cross of Calvary. Now, the picture we have here is a beautiful picture, not only of a man that's running away from the will of God and getting in all kinds of trouble, but now we have another picture, and this is what's so wonderful and so beautiful about the precious word. Now we have another picture here. We have a picture of what Jesus has done for us. And he tells these men that I must be thrown overboard. I must die that you can be saved. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. And he knew, the Father knew, it was his plan, the only way that we can be saved is if the Son Jesus dies. That's it. That's the only way. And he says, take me up. You know, the Son of Man must be lifted up upon the cross of Calvary that we can live. He tells these sailors, you must lift me up. Not to worship, to die. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring her to land. I have seen people, I know people this day, that have done everything they can do to please and take care of their sin, to take care of the guilt that they have, to take care of everything that they want. They have tried every means. They have tried buying things. That didn't work. They've tried a new relationship. That didn't work. They've tried a different church. That didn't work. They tried a different job. That didn't work. They tried different friends. That didn't work. What have I left out? 1,000 things I've left out that you might have tried to satisfy yourself. There's only one way to be satisfied, and that is that you come to Jesus Christ by faith and be saved. That your sin will be taken away from you, that guilt can be lifted, and the joy can come into your heart. That's the only way. that you come to Jesus. The only way these men could be saved, the only way, is if they would lift up Jonah and throw him overboard. That Jonah would die, would drown, that these men would be saved, these sailors would be saved. Oh, don't forget, don't miss the picture here, because the only way you can be saved is if Jesus be lifted up upon the cross, and he was. And that's the reason you hear me so often say you need to come to the cross of Calvary and be saved, because that's the only way you can be saved. That's the only way. You know, so many people get so tied up in things around the world and even in the church today that they miss what their responsibility is to come to Jesus, to realize the guilt and the condition that they're in, and come to Jesus for forgiveness that their sins can be taken away. And when they have that free gift of salvation, then they set out to serve. Now, that's what we're to do. To serve him, to praise his name, not to bring glory to ourselves. And many things that we do and many gifts that we get involved in bring glory to ourselves. I want to sit down and I want to tell you something that's the most important thing to me, the most important thing to you, and that's Jesus. I can't tell you simply enough. I can't explain to you. I want to just lay it out for you. I would love to be looking eye to eye with you, because you could see the countenance, why that I want you to be saved. But you see, just because I want you to be saved doesn't do it. You got to listen to the Word of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe, whosoever, don't believe those that say there's just a few, or they can even say there's a great multitude, but not all can be saved. Whosoever. And please, that you come to Jesus today and you are drawn by that precious word and you come by faith to Jesus and you're saved. Please today that you listen to that call, because you see, Jesus had to be lifted up to the cross. He is your perfect sacrifice and you need to meet him there. I invite you today to come to Jesus. Now, these men here may be doing exactly what you're going to do today. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring her to land. They ignored the call. They ignored what Jonah told them. The prophet of God said, "Throw me overboard." But they could not. They rowed and they rowed and they rowed, but they could not get it. The storm continued to become more fierce, more damaging, and it was just as if the ship was to be crushed and all were to die. You see, Jesus has died on the cross. He went to that cross 2,000 years ago that you and I can live. But if you do not come to the cross of Calvary and trust in him by faith, you too will be crushed. You'll be crushed to the point that you'll find yourself in the pits of hell for eternity. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. They didn't listen. They cried unto the Lord, verse 14. "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's sake, for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." They saw no choice. It was either this or die. What can I tell you that you will listen to the Word of God and let that Word penetrate your heart today? That you'll come to that same place where you realize that you have tried everything to satisfy and it doesn't work. It will not take that guilt away. It will not take that sin away. And you need Jesus today. They got to the same place. They saw no other choice. They saw no other choice. So they picked Jonah up. And in picking Jonah up, they cast him overboard. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, We talked last week and the week before. If you're a real man, if you're a real man, you come to Jesus. And you'll repent of your sin. And you'll turn your heart unto Him, and He'll save you, and He'll take those sins away. And you begin to live for Jesus. That's a real man. I don't care if you got strong muscles or no muscles at all. I don't care if you got the all kinds of hair or no hair at all. I don't care if you're 6 foot five or if you're 4 foot two. You can't be a man. You can't be a man until you come to Jesus. You're nobody. You're a lost, filthy, rotten sinner that needs to be saved. These sailors found themselves in a terrible storm, a storm that they could not find their way through. They tried. They rowed. They did everything they could do to find their way through that storm, and they couldn't do it. It's the same way in this life. It's the same way if you want the victory that is intended for you by the cross of Calvary. You need to come by faith and become a part of the death of Jesus Christ. That's the reason you'll always hear me say you must meet Him at the cross. You must come to Calvary and meet Him there. Because you see, these men all took part in the death of Jonah. They lifted him up and they threw him overboard. Now, by being a part of that death, and we need to be a part of the death of Jesus, He died for me. My sins nailed Him to the cross. And I need to understand that. Oh, it was the Jews of the day. Sure, they were angry with Him, and they took Him out, and they physically nailed His hands to that cross and His feet to that cross, and His side was all beaten by the whipping that he'd taken, and they lifted Him up and placed Him upon that cross. Placed Him upon there. They took part in it. They killed Him. Well, your sin and my sin killed Him. The weight of that sin. He had to die. The substitute, that's God's plan. If you'll study the Old Testament, you'll know that. That's God's plan, that the substitute must die. It needs to be an innocent substitute. It needs to be a perfect substitute. There always had to be the shedding of the blood. The blood was a part of that substitute, an important part. That blood was taken and applied. If you go back to the day of the first Passover, the blood of that lamb was put upon across the doorpost. It was applied. The blood of the, on the Day of Atonement, there was the two goats. One was led away with all the sins laid upon the other. The blood was caught and was taken into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled seven times across the mercy seat. Seven times. The blood must be applied. And you see, the blood of Jesus was the same. The blood of Jesus had to be applied. It was taken to the presence of His Father in heaven, and it's there this very day. So you see, there's some things that have to go on in your life. You can't just, you know, it has to be a part of your life. Instead of believing that Jesus lived, yes, I believe in God, you have to be a part of it. And by you, by faith, coming to Jesus and meeting Him at the cross, you become a part of His death. And to a part of His resurrection. Now look what happened to these fellows when they took up Jonah and threw him overboard. As we must take Jesus at His death. And that will mean life for us, because we can live by faith in Jesus. They took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Oh, my friend, we must accept the responsibility for His death. As they took part in the death of Jonah, we must take part in the death, the substitutional death of Jesus upon the cross, that we might live. It must be personal, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We need to take part in it. And we can do that by faith. Jesus took every sin away. When he died on that cross, every sin that mankind had ever committed was given and laid upon him, upon the cross of Calvary. And that's the reason that we must go to the cross. Because that's where our sins were taken care of. That's where it was taken care of. You need to come to the cross of Calvary and trust in Jesus. Become personally involved in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that you might have life. Oh, it's so important that we don't miss that. It's so important that each one of us look unto Jesus and see that Jesus died for you and for me that we might have life. And you know, as we look here, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice. You know, we have in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You know, we're reminded, we've read that for several weeks if you've been with us each and every week. But you know, after that Jonah was lifted up and thrown overboard to die, the sea ceased her raging. The storm was over. The storm of life, the storm of sin, can be settled. It can become calm if you'll come to Jesus and live after the Lord Jesus. 3 days and three nights, as we have the example now in verse 17. That's how long Jonah was in the fish's belly. Now, we have, as the Son of God was in the earth, was in the grave 3 days and three nights. What happened? The sea quit. They finally believed what this prophet told them. Pick me up, cast me overboard, and the sea will cease. When are you going to believe God? When are you going to believe his word that Jesus is the only way? He says, come to the cross. Believe the gospel. The death, meet him at the cross. The burial, he died in that grave. He took those sins to the grave. But the resurrection, there's life in Jesus. Oh, my friend, that we have such a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And you can be bought, purchased by the blood of Jesus. By that precious death, please that you come to him today. See what happened to these men? Oh, the fear, a reverence, a great feeling came over them as they were obedient. The sea calmed. My friend, that's what's going to happen the day you come to Jesus. The day you come to Jesus and set your life upon serving him, there will be a peace. The day you come to Jesus and meet him at the cross, your sin problem is taken care of. Now, we didn't get very far. We find the men here that they offered sacrifices unto the Lord. We'll begin there next time. But, my friend, I hope that you are not continuing to row. I hope that you see there's only one way, and that's to accept the way that God has set before us to be saved, to have eternal life, and to have the free gift of salvation today. Today. These men found out. When are you going to find out? I hope today. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?